Still Standing is a podcast of hope. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am your host. On this podcast, you're going to hear stories from people who have encountered a living God and found help and hope in their real life. No matter what your life is like right now or what you think of God, I hope you hear stories like yours, and I hope you walk away thinking there's hope for me too. Everyone on this podcast would gladly say it's because of Jesus that I am still standing. Come find out why. Well, today on Still Standing, we are talking about a topic for every single person I know, including myself. Today, we're talking about distraction, living a distracted life, all the distractions that come across our plate all the time. It seems like a surface level issue because these are like little things that pick at our life all the time, but it is literally costing us our lives, you all. It's costing us our life. Living a life of distraction not only leaves us feeling kind of empty and without purpose because we're constantly distracted, it also means that when trouble comes for us, we may not have what we actually need to face it. So my guest today knows a lot about this topic. She's tackled it head on in a brand new book that just released called But Then She Remembered. And my guest today is going to urge us today together out of a distracted life, and she's going to tell us how to live grounded and focused. And very unsurprisingly, the key friends we're going to find in the pages of Scripture. We need this wake-up call. If you are ending your days feeling like you're always moving but never satisfied, then this episode is for you. So welcome my next guest, Katie Westenberg. Welcome to Still Standing. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me here, Allie. That was a great introduction. You get it.
Yes. Well, Katie, I understand you're a mom of four. You live in the Pacific Northwest. Tell us a little bit about you and your people. Just give us a little bit about just who are you? What's your life like right now?
All right. I have been married almost 22 years, and I live in the non-Seattle part of Washington State. Most people think of Washington and they think of Seattle and rain, but I actually live in the really dry agricultural side of the state. Mm-hmm. And I have four kids, and my oldest is graduating from high school this year, and my youngest is 10, two girls and two boys. And they've been mostly homeschooled here, so I get to do that as my primary work, but I have had opportunities to write and speak on the side.
That's awesome. Well, we have to have a little fun before we start into our topic. Every single person that comes on this podcast, I ask this question to. And my only rule in answering is that you can't say coffee.
Okay.
What is keeping you standing these days? Like when you get up and you're going to face a day, you're going to face a new week, what keeps you standing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're asking me that in a really unique season, right? Because I'm launching a book right now, and that's not something I do every day.
Yes.
So this is a little more intense season. But I would say for this intense season, it's really just God increasing my capacity. Mm-hmm. And when those things come, because I'm not always doing podcast interviews, I'm not always, you know, sometimes writing seasons are quieter where I'm shutting the door and getting more writing time. But I really just ask him when these more chaotic seasons come, and I'm still trying to homeschool my kids, and they still have sports and activities they have to get to, and we're adding work onto that. I just ask him, like, Lord, can you increase my capacity? And he's so faithful to do that. So that's what I have seen in this season. I don't know how on paper it all works, but it does. And then thankfully we move to quieter seasons in time too.
Yeah. Okay. What a great answer. I love that answer, friends. A prayer to pray is, Lord, increase my capacity. So if you're in a busy season and you need to stay upright, that is an awesome prayer. Thank you for that. It sounds like you know a lot personally about the topic that we're going to talk about today. I want you to give us a snapshot of what you see when you look at our culture. I would definitely call us a culture of distraction. But tell me through the eyes of someone who's been thinking about and just kind of ruminating on this topic of distraction, what do you see when you look at our culture right now? Why are we so distracted? What is happening? And just help us look through your eyes when you see the world and the lives that we're living right now.
Yeah, well, you asked for a snapshot, so I'll give you one I just saw specifically the other day. My kids were at an event, and I wasn't able to attend. So another mom was there, and she took a picture of them, right? And there were probably six kids sitting on this bench, and they're all smiling towards the camera. But as you looked beyond the center of the picture, there were probably seven adults scattered throughout the back of that scene. And when I looked at that picture a second longer, I noticed every single adult in that photo was staring at their phone. Like, no one even knew they were in the picture. And I don't, I'm not frustrated by that because I know technology is a great tool that we can use in a lot of healthy ways. Mm-hmm. But when I just glanced at that photo, I thought, what do those kids see? Because they don't know if we're doing good work there. They don't know if we're scrolling social media. They have no idea what we're doing, but they can see that our faces are all turned away, gazing at something else. So it's definitely harder today because there are so many multifaceted uses for technology. Mm-hmm. There are so many algorithms that are created to grasp our attention. Mm-hmm. And it's an uphill battle in some ways. But that's really what we see in the world. And I wonder, what are we passing on? What are our kids seeing when they look at adults and wondering, what does this look like? And how do I utilize this?
You know, that picture that you described, I know that's so real. And I've been the adult staring at my phone in the background.
That's right.
And it makes me a little sad. As you were painting that picture, I felt a little bit sad. Because I think there's a recognition in me that I know that you're right. And yet I stand there as the adult with my phone in my face sometimes. And what is it costing us?
And that's a real question there because we want to get past the surface. Like I said, I'm not frustrated by them being on their phones because I've been there too. And sometimes we have good and important work to do there. They may have been, I don't know, doing all kinds of good work for God's kingdom or whatever, just managing their homes. But you can't really tell the difference. And what I wonder is the loss of focus. I was reading a book by Tozer the other day, and I'm gonna just paraphrase what he said. But when he wants to worship, he said he gets his Bible and he focuses. And I think that's what the hardest thing to do these days is really focus because the distractions are just manifold. Like the distractions have always been there. Don't get me wrong, but they're so much nearer. They're all visual, and they're coming at such a rapid rate. Like there's algorithms that are created to grasp that. So the battle is really uphill. And then when we lose the ability to focus, we lose the ability to worship. We lose the ability to learn. We lose ability to use our time and talents for what God has created us to do. So that's the real risk.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you see it being primarily a technology issue, or are there other ways that you think you see a distracted culture that we're living in? Is it phones primarily, or is there more to it?
I think technology has taken it next level. And because it's so independent, right? Like I said, I could be on my phone. I could be doing good work. I could be reading the Bible, right? There I am. But I could also be scrolling social or looking at the news. And my kids don't know the difference, whereas they used to. They used to see what we were watching on television or see me with a Bible in my hand. So now it all becomes one big black void that we don't know where we went. But the other day, I was making my kids a quick peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I opened the fridge, and I'm standing there looking like, what was I looking for in the fridge, right? You're distracted because someone else came and engaged with me, and I can't remember. So no, it's not just technology. Like, we have these minds that like to ping in so many directions, but technology definitely takes it to the next level.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So tell me what is your change point for this? Like, you must have reached a point personally where this was an issue in your life. Can you take me back there? Like, what was the tipping point where you went, okay, I need to figure out how to live a less distracted life? Like, what's your story around this?
Some of it is just the feeling that we have, just neutral in the background, like, man, this phone is taking a lot of my time, right? Like, oh, I shouldn't. Do I really want to look at that stuff? So I feel like we have gotten kind of used to having that feeling. And I was feeling that too, this discomfort, right? Like, we know it's a good tool, but I'm also uncomfortable. I'm raising these kids that are teenagers and not sure how to train them how to utilize these things because I didn't have them when I'm a teenager. So that put some more pressure on that. But it really became a time where I was reading through scripture cover to cover. Sometimes I work that way. Sometimes it's great to be like intensive in one specific book, but I was reading cover to cover and the themes of remembering started jumping off the page. Like, man, God has commanded us to remember. And what happens when God's people forget? And so I started like processing that scripture and underlining it and noting it. And at the same time, my dad was actually going through some massive heart problems. All of a sudden, he was really healthy and we didn't know that he was having heart issues. And then boom, it just all happened. And he had quadruple bypass surgery and he languished in the hospital. hospital. And then all of a sudden the doctor said, you're going to need a heart transplant, which just seems like that is wild. Like, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know anything about heart transplants. So I was reading and online trying to figure out as much information, like what does this look like? And then at the same time as I was studying scripture, to be reading about memory down to the cellular level, like how they found out that these neopeptides that are in our brain are also in many of our major organs, and just unpacking that, like, God designed our bodies to remember.
Okay, incredible. Hold the phone. I get the basic idea that you carry in your body the remembrance of things, but unpack that a little bit. We remember literally in the cells of our body. Can you just educate me a little bit on that?
Oh man, that was like a whole new world to me, because this science, you know, I'm a Bible girl, like I'm not a science girl, but I'm trying to learn all this to help my parents. Like, what does this mean when someone else's heart goes into my dad's heart, right? Like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. My dad has a younger heart than I have nowadays. So I'm trying to wrap my brain around that and just reading the scientific studies. Okay, so they have found that the cells that are capable of remembering aren't only in our brain. We used to think they were just in our brain, but they're actually in all of our body, which makes sense, because then as you start reading, like, what is muscle memory? Oh yes, our muscles are trained and we can have these synaptic connections.
Okay.
There we go. That create memory and increase that in our bodies. And God designed us for what he called us to do. Like, of course he did.
Okay. This is like a paradigm shift for me. I guess I didn't really give a lot of weight to this idea that remembering is not primarily, or not only, I should say, not only a cognitive process.
Yeah.
Wow. I have encountered that idea before, but I'm so focused on my mind being what remembers that it really is a paradigm shift to go like, no, it's not a thought. It's embodied in us. Our memory is literally embodied in us. Okay, so keep going and get us to distraction. What does this have to do with distraction?
Yeah, well, I think distraction is where we usually stop, right? Like, if I could just peel that back from the surface and think, what is behind this? What is behind my doom scrolling? What is behind my checking everyone else out on social media? What is behind that? And we try to just like put a little Band-Aid on that. Maybe I should just get rid of the phone. I thought about that for a while. Maybe I should just go old school and have a flip phone, or would that fix everything? Mm-hmm. But really, behind the surface level distraction is a heart that is chasing something else, a heart that doesn't remember like who God is and how he created me and what he created me to do here. Mm. So it's that remembering that makes an internal shift to how I want to spend my days and my time. And that remembering changes how it plays out in my life and it takes care of those distractions rather than just like sweeping them on the surface.
So when did you realize that you personally were paying a cost for this in your own life? Like, what did that look and feel like for you?
I think it looks and it feels like just the void of not knowing what to do, knowing that these little traits I take, or maybe just this time away, never really seems to fix it. Mm-hmm. We see so many people take these social media breaks, and social media breaks can be healthy, right? I'm just saying they're not the end all, because we all come back and we get lost again and we get distracted again and we're spending too much time again. So it was when I really thought, how do I get behind this? What is the layer to get past just the surface stuff that will really, really change things? And then it all became just what I was studying in scripture, that remembering. Mm-hmm. Can I remember here? Can I be reminded here? In John 14, Jesus, as he's telling his disciples, he's getting ready to leave, right? And he's telling them, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things I have taught you. And so, yes. And so when you talk about like being reminded in that moment, what is the most important thing I could do right now? What can I do that I'm created to do? That's the reminder that I'm asking for. I'm asking God, like, can we make it not about the time on my phone and make it about what you want me to do here? Can you make me a listener and one that will be obedient when I hear that, Lord? Like, that's a big deal to ask, but that's the game changer right there.
We know there's something better. Like, everything in us is telling us there's something better. And I love that you are going at it from a heart level, because my first instinct, Katie, is to, fine, then I'll just make a list of all the things I shouldn't do. Right. I'll put a limit on my social media consumption. I will make sure that the phone is off at a certain time. And what you're saying is, sure, you could try some of those things. There might be some wisdom in that for some of us, just as a temporary guardrail. But that's not actually going to fix the problem. And I think you're right, because I've done some of those things. And I've never really felt like the needle has moved ultimately.
Yeah.
What did you find that we need to know about remembering?
Well, it's twofold. So the first part is recalling, right? It's coming to mind again. And then it's actually an active word. It's to act upon it. And it's really one way we learn to love God with our mind, right? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. But mm-hmm. these minds, I think we kind of look past that they are made for this. So can I call it to mind? And then can I change my direction in that? And that's what we see throughout scripture when God is saying his people forgot. He put these markers in place, right, mm-hmm. with the Israelites. Can you remember the Exodus again and again with Joshua and his people? Can you remember this? Can we set up these stones? Because I'm going to need you to tell your children. Because he knew we were good mm-hmm. forgetters. So I think just noticing the graciousness and kindness of God, like he mm-hmm. knows our weakness here, and he's saying, I'm going to put some things in place to help you remember and help you with your weakness be able to remember.
Okay, that's really cool. That actually gives me quite a lot of calm in my heart about this, because God was dealing with this in humanity far before cell phones, far before social media, which tells me immediately there's a solution that goes beyond
that. Yeah, because you know, I mean, 30 years ago, it was probably the newspaper, right? You could put that newspaper up because I'm not going to pay attention to things around me. I'm just going to hide in front of that newspaper and mm-hmm. entertain myself or read the news or whatever.
Yeah.
But yes, he knows our frame. He knows how we were made. And that takes the shame away from it. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not going to count hours up and look for the checklist and say, like, God, did I get too many minutes in today or not? Like, he's after my heart. And that is the story we see throughout mm-hmm. scripture.
Okay, you're really encouraging me, because I have tended toward an external solution for this problem. I recognize the problem, acknowledge it, see it, hate it, and I have tended toward external will-based solutions. And I don't know why it never hit me, because that's never how God works. He always wants the heart-level solution, but for some reason, you know, the phone, it seems so tangible. It seems like, well, this is the thing that's the problem. Well, actually, maybe not. I know that you also talk about another aspect of solution or movement. Let's just call it positive movement on this, being the renewal of our minds. Mm-hmm. Help me understand, how do you talk about that? How do you tell people that the renewing of our mind, again, if this solution is inside out, what does my mind have to do with it?
Yeah, to renew our minds is to bring it back, right? We're going to renew. And we mm-hmm. talk a lot about taking thoughts captive, but I think we just stop there. I'm going to take mm-hmm. those thoughts captive, and then I might just stare at them for a while, right? Like all this worry that I have that I'm feeling, and I'm just going to lock it in this box and stare at it. But the other part of that scripture is to align it with truth, right? To bring mm-hmm. it into obedience. And that's the remembering. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm feeling this way in this moment. I am so overwhelmed. I'm so nervous about where my kids are going, or my marriage, or my finances, or this at work. I'm feeling all of this fear and worry, and what can I do with it, right? So I'm going to take these thoughts captive. This is what I feel, and this is real. This is what's going on around me. Mm-hmm. But aligning with that, with truth, looks like remembering who God is, mm-hmm. remembering how he loves and what he's done throughout scripture, mm-hmm. throughout my life, throughout the lives of others. That's borrowed faith, right? They've lived mm-hmm. through some things, and like, okay, if that is the God that I know and love, and that is the God that loves me, how does that change what I do here in the moment? Mm-hmm. That's the remembering that changes our lived out theology. Mm-hmm. I'm not just going to believe this and read it, but right now I'm going to put it into practice that this is who you are, God, and I don't have to feel this way because I know who you are and I know what you've done. That's the remembering that changes everything.
Okay, so let's make that super practical. Let's go into, you're a mom of four. I'm a mom of four. We do a lot of sitting around watching our kids at things. We do. Parents the world over can relate. Prime time to pick up your phone and just mindlessly scroll, you know, whatever. Maybe you're banking. Maybe you're checking your home security camera. Maybe you're reading the Bible. It could be that you're doing something of more value than just randomly scrolling social media. However, take me into a moment where I'm now about to reach for my phone. What do you recommend in that very normal moment when my instinct is to allow, to agree with distraction or living this way? What do you want me to do instead?
That trigger right there in that moment is the first step, right? Just noticing, I want to reach for my phone right now. And then maybe ask yourself what you're doing. Sometimes this sounds kind of weird, I speak to the distractions. Like, I'm just going to say it out loud. I feel like I want to be entertained right now. I'm tired and I'm avoiding cleaning because I don't want to do that right now. I don't really want to talk to the person sitting next to me, right? Like, can I actually say what it is that I'm doing? Or maybe I'm doing the good work. And then that helps me rationalize it and say, okay, is this something I want to spend my time on, spend my life on, spend my minutes on, or not, right? Mm-hmm. So just saying, this is what it is. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm doing. It also helps to say that in front of my kids. I am going to check that source for you right now. And it helps me stay focused when I get on there and put it down. But if I am just running from something, if I am just taking those minutes, and there's nothing wrong with any of us taking a break, right? Like, you know, we can take those breaks and check in, and entertainment in itself is not wholly bad, right? So sometimes we need a break. But to ask the Lord, what would you have me do in this moment? Mm-hmm. Is there someone here I'm sitting next to at the baseball game today that you'd rather have me have a conversation with? Is there something I'm missing? Mm-hmm. If we can trust the Holy Spirit, if He is the one who helps us remember, can we ask Him, like, prompt my heart, help me to be a good listener if I'm just checking out, if I'm looking over something that you would have me do?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to confess what mine is to you right now. God has been reminding me that what He cares primarily about are the people that are in my immediate vicinity, in my present moment. The question for me is, who is around me that you love and care about? Because I can be a people avoider. I value long-term few relationships. That's just how I'm wired. I like a handful of smaller relationships that are in my life over a long period of time. And so sometimes I can devalue those day-to-day interactions with somebody I may never see again. That doesn't mean the Lord devalues them, but I do. I do sometimes. And so for me, it nearly always comes down to who is right in front of me. We have to understand what we're being distracted from and value that thing. Otherwise, we'll never be convinced that there's something better. I have to remember regularly that it is people that God adores and loves and wants, and that I am His big plan A for how to bring love and care and kindness and encouragement and respect into the lives of the people that are like sitting right in front of me. What if I moved through my life and I really thought the thing God cares about most is how I interact with you, Katie, right now, and literally nothing else matters right now to God? If I believed that, and I do believe that, it's one of those, like, I believe, help my unbelief. Like, yes, you know, yes. I believe, Lord, but I act like I don't believe. And so I pick up my phone and I ignore the person next to me without even asking God, do you have a word of kindness? Is there someone you want me to help? Is there something I could do that would bless somebody in my immediate vicinity right now at this moment instead of just mindlessly scrolling? I don't want to sometimes. I welcome the distraction because I don't want to. And so for me, definitely recognizing the trigger and putting the value of people in that space for me, it will be huge. I mean, it really will be huge because I know how the Lord feels about the people that He made. And I know that they're more important than the version of them that I might scroll by on Instagram. Isn't that weird? We could be at a kids' event and scroll through the people's Instagrams that are sitting right next to us. That's madness. Like, that's total madness, right?
Yes, yes. It's so simple and so powerful. And really what we've seen in the life of Christ, right? Because He has people coming at Him from every direction. I feel like wherever He goes, people are showing up on the shore in front of Him, you know.
Totally.
Here He is traveling with the disciples and He's exhausted and He shows up at the well, right? And He's looking for some water and here's the woman at the well. And she offers him water and He offers her life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and then she goes on and tells everyone about Christ. Like, it's such a powerful interruption and He never missed it. And the woman who's reaching, and the woman with a problem of bleeding, mm-hmm. he's on his way somewhere else and she reaches out. So he's not afraid of those interruptions. And those interruptions, we talk about interruptions versus distractions in the mm-hmm. book. Those interruptions are usually what frustrate me. It's not my own distractions that bother me. It's like, oh my goodness, I was going to do something really important right now. And now this is showing up in front of me. Mm-hmm. But Jesus had the heart to see that, wait, this is the most important thing mm-hmm. right now. So that simple truth that you're saying is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. It could sharpen my focus like nothing else when I remember that the Lord that I say that I love and that I serve loves the person standing in front of me. Am I about what he loves? You're giving language to me to help me understand something is being triggered, and that's the moment I need to call back to mind. Wait, this is the God that I serve. This is what he's like. And now I have a choice in front of me. Do I move that direction or do I move another direction?
That's getting behind the distraction to the remembering, right? Like mm-hmm. the distraction is almost a distraction in itself because we just want to focus on that. Mm-hmm. But you're getting behind that now to the remembering. And what is interesting is as I was doing this research, I was reading an article in Forbes, right? So like not a Christian magazine, I'm not reading the Bible, but they're talking about distraction and saying, we're starting to learn that maybe distraction isn't the problem as much as paying attention to what we want to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And like, that's it, right? That's what we're living for. We live for a different mission, but we don't always choose to do that. Like, what do we want to be about here?
It's that moment in my study. Mm-hmm. You got 2 hours. Do you want to make your flesh feel good? Do you want to check some little things off your list and make sure you got your social media posts going? Or do you want to do, and some of that is satisfying and or necessary or a little bit of, mm-hmm. you know, both. Or do you want to give me these precious 2 hours to do what I made you to do? Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the way that you talk about this topic because I feel more empowered and less ashamed.
Yeah. Of your own struggle,
of
right?
Of my and own I think that, struggle. Not,
that's right.
It's just been that, let me just pause for a moment and celebrate that struggle. Because when the Holy Spirit is present, the struggle is created. Because he wants more life for us. And so I would say to everyone listening, if you too recognize that struggle, I'm going to say a big hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Because I will worry about myself and about us as a people when that struggle is gone.
Yes.
Because that means that God has walked away. He's given us over to it. And I don't want that. I just want to say out loud, Lord, do not give us over to this. Maintain the struggle. And so a lot of times when I'm in a struggle, which I know is kind of a godly struggle against maybe the world and it's all of its distracted ways, I just want to celebrate the fact that it is literally the presence of the Holy Spirit that's creating that struggle, or you wouldn't be having one. So I just want to say, yay, keep the struggle alive, because I don't want to be given over to this.
That's right.
And I don't want God to walk away from me in it, because I recognize somewhere in that struggle is God saying, I have something better for you. I really do. So thank you for giving language to us for it. And tell our listeners, like as we finish up this conversation, if they recognize that struggle, what's the like one big thing? Is it recognizing the trigger? Is it What would you say is a great first thing to engage with your own personal struggle with your phone or however distraction appears in your life?
My first step would be not even the phone, not even tracking things. It would just be to ask the Lord to help. This is a mm-hmm. prayer that he loves to answer. And if the fruit of his spirit is self-control, then we know he can give this, right? This is mm-hmm. his business. He reminds us. He gives us self-control. And so often we're looking for a list of black and white rules. Okay, Katie, how many minutes on my phone is really okay? Right. Like, that's not the answer. Like, don't be distracted by that. Ask the Lord to be your reminder and to give you mm-hmm. give you that conviction in those moments. Not shame, not looking for that. But I want to walk with you, Lord. Will you walk with me here? Yeah. That is a prayer he loves to answer.
That's so grace-giving. I'm going to pray for us right now, everybody who's listening. Lord, I pray that you would just spread this message far and wide, because we want the life that you have for us. We do. We want something better than a distracted life. And so would you help? Would you give it to us by your Spirit? Would you walk with us as we deal with our modern world and this age-old problem. Would you help? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Can you please tell everyone where to find you? Tell us about your book. What's it called? Where do we get it? How do my listeners further connect with you? Just tell us where to find you and get encouragement for this in our lives every day.
Okay. The book is But Then She Remembered, How to Give God Your Full Attention in a Distracted World. It's available now wherever books are sold, and you can find me online occasionally on Instagram and Facebook, and then on my website is katiewestenberg.com.
Okay. Super. Thank you. Thank you so much. Great conversation. Thanks for help. I feel like I learned and grew in the middle of it as a result of it. I just appreciate your heart in it and how much grace I feel as you talk about it. Throwing out my checklist. I'm going to start with the prayer. So thank you so much. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Allie. It was great to be here.
Hey, thanks for listening. For all things Still Standing, head over to theallipatterson.com. You can find my new book, How to Stay Standing, as well as other resources, including articles, Bible studies, and all kinds of resources just for you. No matter where you listen to podcasts, would you leave us a rating? Maybe even a written review? It helps others find this podcast, and we want to help as many people as possible bring hope and courage into the middle of life storms. If you want to connect more with me, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at The Allie Patterson. Still Standing is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.